for our first creature segment, I'm making a weird face right now because we don't really even know what we're calling this episode in some way. Because this is Kinksploration and the plug and let's talk and a little bit creator corner probably sometimes. And it's all going to flow through. And the way we're really breaking it down is by the specific creatures. So we recognize that there is love for lots of creatures. And just because Blade will kill me if I don't say it, I'd like to say that there are lovely centaur fics out there. There are great dragon fics and lots of things. We are focusing on vampires, werewolves, and tentacles. If we are not focusing on your favorite creature, two things real quick. One, we still love you from the depths of our hearts. And two, it just means it might not be our specific thing, but we would love it if you would come on and talk to us about why you love that thing. You can also send us an email or a stony secret explaining that, and we'll make sure to read it in a future community talks. So this is not meant to be exclusionary in any way, shape, or form, just like nothing on podcast is meant to be exclusionary. These just are the three that we, to be frank, are the most passionate about personally for various reasons we will get into in a little bit. And speaking about personal passion, we're going to start with one of Ferret's, which is vampires.
Yay.
And for this fic, we chose Bite Me Please by Will McKenz for many reasons, including that it's fucking hot. Really quick plot description. Basically, it's like Iron Man 2 to Avengers 1-ish canon, kind of. Tony is dying of palladium poisoning when we first meet him. And Nat and Coulson and Fury are being weird and creepy. He is a vampire and was turned during his captivity in Afghanistan. Yinsen turned him because there was no other way for him to survive. But he still has the arc reactor.
Yeah.
So I love it. It's one of my favorite things about all of Wilma's various creature fics is her imagination just does me in. I bit on her last year in MTH because of that. I love seeing what she does.
There's so much creativity in this one.
Oh my gosh. So Tony's dying of palladium poisoning is, you know, fortunately does not crash his car at Monaco in this particular story, but is given this blood that makes him feel unspeakably amazing. Then of course, as soon as like they keep giving it to him, S.H.I.E.L.D. keeps giving it to him, and as long as he does what they want him to do, as soon as he's done that, they take it away from him again, and he's pissed because he's Tony, and also he was just given the greatest blood that could ever exist. And of course, friends, we all know it's Steve's blood. Like, we all know it's so obviously wonderfully Steve's blood. So goes on, there's a bit of a time jump. Steve and Tony meet. They argue and fight and bicker just like they do in Avengers. There's a thing on the helicarrier, but they are both inexplicably drawn to each other. And eventually they mate and fuck. Steve lets Tony, actually begs Tony to drink from him in a very, very, very erotic way. And they live happily ever after. The end. So that's the basic setup. And I'm now going to turn it over briefly to Ferret, because we all have our specific things, and this is one of yours. Like, vampires is one of your real things.
Oh yeah. I'm like that chin hands emoji right now listening to you tell the story again. yeah, I love vampires. My fandom awakening and a distinct portion of my sexual awakening was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It hit me at exactly the right moment. I started watching it when I was like 11, I think. And there'd been a couple seasons out already. And my mom had them on VHS. She'd recorded them from TV. So they were randomly on a whole bunch of different VHS tapes. And I was sick one time when my mom was away for a week, I think visiting my family. And so my dad was working from home because I was sick. So I was staying home, but I had no supervision. And I took it upon myself to take all the VHS tapes out and the little orange duotang my mom had recorded things in and figure out if I could watch all of the backlog of Buffy that we had. And I didn't even come close to seeing them all at that point because it was just too hard to find episodes. But oh my God, it just was that was the moment. That was the first time I was a fan of something. And the vampire, Spike just was everything. He just hit all of my buttons. He was like the kind of sad bad boy. He needed me, but he was also cool. And he was funny and witty and like, just like didn't take things too seriously, but he was also naughty and sexual. And then like the whole vampire thing, like it's so sexualized in Buffy. And I was like, I was watching season 5, which is the spikiest season. And like at one point he gets like tied up and beat up by this, by Glory, who's like a god. And he's just like sad and like her comfort. Flame, this is everything that I need in the world. It's just perfect. So this vampires have just like, they just, it's part of what built me.
Fascinating. So what about kind of, if we you know, come back up from Spike and Buffy themselves?
Can we? I'm sorry. I'm okay.
I'm going to need you to, just because I can't go there with you.
Okay. Someday you'll watch it with me.
I will watch it with you. I have admittedly watched Buffy. I enjoyed it. It didn't grab me the same way it grabbed a whole lot of other people, but I have no ill feelings towards it.
You need to watch it with me sitting there staring at you.
Oh, that will definitely make me fall in love with it. Right? Awkwardly making sure that I love it, because otherwise you won't maybe not love me anymore. I will not feel that pressure at all.
Yeah, perfect. It's a date.
Great. Great. I feel that way about West Wing with people. So.
Oh yeah, me too. Though.
First 4 seasons of West Wing is like sacrosanct. Mr. Flame and I went to watch 2 of the episodes right after we got married in the Northern Irish Parliament building.
Oh, nice.
And it was the first 2 episodes he had ever watched.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, I had to like almost like hold my jaw myself to keep myself from staring at him to make sure he was laughing at all the right lines.
Right.
It was the crackpots and these women, which is such a good introduction.
Oh, yes. Episode.
Let Bartlett be Bartlett.
Yes. Oh my God. Great.
2 of the best eps to just like watch out of
Yeah.
Yeah. Sitting in a parliament building. It was so rad.
Fantastic. But there are no vampires in it.
So, but you are not the only person to find vampires erotic. Like this is not unusual. I mean, this is a thing. So in terms of sociology, like one of the reasons that vampires are erotic is this exchange of fluids and blood and the ferality of a need of blood.
Yeah, and this, like, the life-giving of your own body aspect as well.
Yeah, and we tend to, as humans, find sacrifice really sexy.
Yeah.
I don't always know why, but we kind of do. So
there's, like, a common twist-up of redemption and sacrifice in vampire stories, where it's, like, they have earned that sacrifice from someone by going through a redemption arc, and the providing of that life-giving sacrifice, and usually this or often this question of not, of the human not knowing if they'll survive the process, is like tied up with like that sense of having earned it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, like that's a story I've seen repeated in a lot of vampire stories, but also was repeated several times just in Buffy alone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in this particular story, and I think a lot in, so I've read a lot of vampire Tony fics. I haven't read a whole lot of fics where one of the other characters is a vampire and Tony isn't.
Yeah, I think that's actually rarer.
I think that the vampire seems to be one of the default creatures for him.
It's interesting because I've only done one vampire fic, if I can recall correctly, and Steve was the vampire, and it was because he's lived for a long time. So I was just like, then I don't have to change anything about how old he is.
Did you have him turn Tony?
Well, not in any of what's been published so far, but I won't say if it's going to happen in the future.
Oh, okay.
But I will say that for me, one of the kinks is the vampire and the human thing. I actually have little interest in the human being turned into a vampire.
Yeah, I don't find that as fun. Which might be why people like Tony and Steve, because Steve's already going to maybe live forever with the serum.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, there is this like fundamental problem with vampire stories, and like why there was no great ending for the Twilight Saga is that like there can't be a promise of a happy ending.
Yeah.
Because either the human has to become a vampire and in many regards give up aspects of their human life they may be attached to, or they will die and the vampire will be alone again. So I think that like a lot of the appeal in a happy vampire story is ending it early enough that those thoughts don't necessarily come to mind.
That makes sense. And it's also very like gothic and dramatic. in and of itself. And so fluffy vampire stories are not necessarily something that you find a whole lot.
I think her comfort, and this is probably, you know, like, this is another reason why I like it so much, is that her comfort is one of the predominant feeling tropes that runs through vampire stories.
Yeah, and that is your crack. So
it is. I could snort that all day.
All day. For me, as somebody who enjoys these but doesn't often seek them out all that often, the thing that I loved the most, the small detail that I loved the most, was when Tony, like, feeds on Steve. You get Steve's POV at one point, and he talks about, like, he essentially said it's the first time he had been lightheaded since 1940, whatever.
Mm.
And he felt human again for the first time in a really long time. And since one of the things that we play with in Stony so often is that Tony is one of the only people that falls in love with Steve Rogers and not Captain America.
Right.
That Steve's mom and Bucky are the only two people that knew the pre-serum kid. Oh, and Peggy. Like, in fandom. That Tony was able to invoke pre-serum Steve in this moment added to the almost soulmate aspect that Wilma is playing with in this story. Like, they are fated for each other.
Yeah. That's
whether they were before Tony turned is not something she's interested in, because she doesn't do a full soulmate trope. But now they have to exist together.
Yeah, and we mentioned this in the introduction, this, like, a lot of creature effects have this, like, I mean, there's the classic Twilight line, you're my brand of heroine. And I think that kind of, be it a soulmate thing, or this kind of creature forms bonds thing, like, we'll talk in werewolves about bonding and mates. But I see that trope in vampires sometimes too, this idea of a mate or someone you're meant to be with, or just the idea of, like, vampires have preferences or inclinations, and some people just taste the best or smell the best, and that's like enough to draw them in.
Yeah.
And it touches on this whole, like, feral, like, animalistic, like, you don't have to think about it too hard, like, you just feel it. It's just this need, and that's just super erotic.
And then, of course, in this fic, it's the idea that Tony uses blood as lube.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, which crosses that line.
Yeah.
That's right over it.
The blood play thing, not everybody who likes vampires wants that to go very far, but I will also say that I have seen a fairly common thing on do not want lists for events, for exchanges and stuff. It's definitely a relatively common thing to see people put blood play on their do not want thing, unless it's vampires.
Yeah, like, when I say I don't want blood play, I mostly don't want people cutting each other and playing with each other's blood.
Yeah.
I would be okay. I'm okay with the blood play that's in this fic, if, you know, so vampire fic would be fine with me.
Yeah, it's an interesting, like, it's an interesting distinction point that people can be okay with the very same actual actions, in a sense, if it's a creature and a human versus if it's just two humans who are indulging in a kink.
Yeah, it's fascinating when we change a little thing, how many other rules we change.
There were some specific things I really loved about this fic. I liked the idea that Steve had this concept of vampires being sexy, but in, like, a vague cultural way, just sort of like how we, like, someone not in fandom maybe might view vampires in a general sort of way, like, oh yeah, people find vampires kind of sexy. And then he meets Tony and is like, oh no, they're, like, actually sexy.
Like, oh no, I need him right now.
Yeah, yeah. And I loved that idea. I loved that a lot of the fic was very feral and animalistic and very leaning into instincts and senses and that kind of thing. But you got these soft moments of feeling from both of them that were shown in different ways. So when Tony falls from the wormhole and was woken up by the Hulk, that all happens the same. And there's a line that says, and Steve was right there above him, shielding him from the sun. And you realize that, because Tony wakes up, feels the sun, and then it's gone. And you realize Steve is holding the shield up to protect him from the sun. And just taking that moment that we all, as Stonies, already know and love, this very soft moment between them, and just adding that little vampire element. I love that kind of thing. I love it. And then you see Tony's softness in what Steve allows him to be. Steve never has a problem with him being a vampire. He's never, it isn't, you know, it's something that is part of Tony to him. And so when Tony drinks from him, we get the line, he felt strong enough to be soft all of a sudden. He was confident enough to be kind. He was alive enough to see, to understand what Steve needed now. And he felt powerful enough to provide it. And I love this idea that Tony's insecurities and fears about his own worth and his own capacity and his own ability to hurt people prevents him from being soft and kind and provide. And then when somebody trusts him like that and gives him what they need and he's fed strength from the other person, that strength comes out as softness and kindness. I think that's a beautiful sentiment.
Yeah, that really is. And it didn't hit me as much when I was reading it as it did when you were just explaining that. That is really lovely.
Yeah, and I think it leans into that vampire thing more too, because one of the appeals, both from a kinky perspective and just from a narrative perspective with vampires, is what I was talking about with Spike, this bad boy who needs me idea. So they're these creatures that are super strong, super powerful, have powerful senses. They're capable of overwhelming a human very easily. They have built-in weapons, you know, they're super naturally strong. And yet they have these glaring weaknesses like sun, stakes, crosses, and the person that they have feelings for. That's the trope that we love to dive into, is the person who is their weakness. And to show in this fic that Steve being his weakness is actually what gives him true strength in the end, is that's a lovely way to lean into that trope and that idea.